for that. But our Lottie Moon Christmas offering is $1,500. They are envelopes in the pews, or you can designate your check. If you just write it out to Wigan Baptist Church, put on your check, Lottie Moon, and continue to support and pray that we can get all 15 candles lit. Each candle represents, someone's asking, each candle represents $100. So continue to be in prayer for that. Our angel tree has been taken down, but we need the gifts back today, right? We need the gifts back, brought to the church today. You still have time. If you haven't brought it, you can bring it tonight. Please have them wrapped with tag on the gift. Today, after the PM service, birthday party for Jesus, please bring a gift for the nursing home residents, socks and blankets and items for the food pantry. This Thursday, December 19th at 7 o'clock, Standing in the Gaps Men's Ministry, meal will be provided. Then next Sunday, December 22nd, fellowship meal after the morning worship service. That's a covered dish.
Well, we bringing something?
Finger food. Thank you for reminding me. If you will, you can bring finger foods and all.
Toe foods or whatever. Listen,
let me regroup here. Finger foods will be fine tonight. No toe jam. Bless my heart. Give me a minute. Where was it? Sunday, December 22nd, fellowship meal after the morning worship service. That is covered dish. Tuesday, December 24th at 6 p.m. is our candlelight service and Lord's Supper, and we'll celebrate that in the original church. Please mark your calendars, ladies, for Tuesday, January 21st, and that is 2025, right? Yes. The tithe is to women's meeting here at the church. Any other announcements?
Next Sunday afternoon, 4:30,
for
Christmas Carol.
Next Sunday,
4:30
p.m. Anyone that would like to, we will go Christmas caroling, 4:30 next Sunday. Anyone that would like to go, please just be here at the church. Meet us here at 4:30. And if you've never been, it's a blessing, y'all. Please be here and plan on participating in that. Any other announcements? Any birthdays? Somebody's. Okay.
We'll get her
soon, yeah. Cam, when they start pointing, you know, soon.
Katie says tomorrow.
And who?
Katie.
Will
she be here?
Katie.
Will you be here next Sunday?
Well, let's just take care of it.
We sing it twice. Yeah, so we sure get it next Sunday, too. We have.
So happy birthday, Susan and Katie. And Harold, will you come lead us in?
I will. All right. Susan and Katie, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you too. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
As we come to our time of prayer, Lord, we just want to remember that why we are here today. We're here for Sunday school. I know we had a good time, good discussion in Sunday school. We're here to fellowship and meet and greet and things like that. But we're here to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. And they are blessings when we truly and genuinely worship Him. And all of us here today, we can say that we are blessed that we can gather here and worship today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. We are thankful for the baptism of Brittany and Kim this morning, Lord. We just thank you for the for the fact, Lord, that they have professed their faith in Jesus Christ and have acknowledged that as you have said to do, Lord, publicly, Lord, in the observance of baptism, Lord. But Lord, as we move forward today, Lord, and we sing these Christmas carols, these Christmas hymns today, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we open up with our hearts, Lord, and we sing loud, and we sing just so grateful that you sent our Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. But Lord, I just want to also lift up Brother Tim to you today, Lord, as he proclaims your word today, Lord, and your word only, Lord, that we listen, Lord, that is part of it. We listen, Lord, but we also need to follow with listening, Lord, and be obedient, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that we'll not get caught in this trap, Lord, of just getting so busy, Lord, and having so many things to do, Lord, that we forget, Lord, that we are supposed to give you all of our attention and all of our worship, Lord. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, if you can this morning, please stand as we sing Joy to the World. Hymn 87, if you're looking in the hymn.
Yeah. the newborn King. Hail Mary, Prince of Peace, Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and light to all me dreams, risen with healing in His wings. Now He lays His glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Out of the world angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
And now our offertory hymn will be 118, What Child Is This? 118.
Thank you.
It's interesting just how fast time goes, and I know we all say that the older we get, but you know, it seemed like yesterday we were celebrating Thanksgiving, and now we're fixing to celebrate Christmas. And so with the thought of Christmas coming, we think of Emmanuel, God with us. We think about the prophecies of Christ coming in the Old Testament, and we, of course, we'll talk about one of those prophecies tonight. But as we think about the blessing of Christmas, you can give anybody you want to as much money or the best present ever, and you will never match the gift that God gave to us. You just can't do it. There is nothing you can do, nothing you can give greater than the gift that God gave us in His Son, Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, Paul said, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." How do you describe indescribable? You can't. There's not enough ways, there's not enough words in the Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, or English language, or Spanish language, or any other language to be able to describe the gift that God has given to us. So as we think about the gift that God gave us, sometimes we get real passive. And I know Brother Tia mentioned that in his prayer a while ago about, you know, help us not become so busy and doing and going that we forget the gift that God has given to you and to me and to the world and to all who will put their faith and trust in Him. In the gift that God gave us in Jesus Christ, we have a gift of hope. I know I mentioned that Friday with Miss Phyllis. We have that gift of hope. We have a gift of freedom. Freedom from our sins. As we study in Exodus, we realize the freedom that the Egyptians had, but we also realize that in Christ Jesus, we're set free not from physical slavery, but from spiritual slavery. We're set free from our sins. We are forgiven. Amen? Aren't you glad you're forgiven this morning? Because even if Jesus came and lived a perfect life and died on the cross and was buried and 3 days later rose again, if you didn't receive forgiveness, then you're still in your sins. And Christ died in vain. But He came to die. He came to give life. He came to forgive us so that we could have a relationship with Him and with God the Father. We also realize that in Him, in this gift, we have salvation, being saved from our sins, along with being forgiven. And with that salvation comes eternal life. Comes eternal life. You know, some people have it really bad here on earth.
if we really stop and think about us, how blessed have we been? You live in the greatest country on earth. You didn't have to come across the southern border or the northern border. At least I don't think so. You're here. You are an American citizen. You have freedoms that 99% of the rest of the world know nothing about. We don't live in fear. He came to give eternal life. He came to bring peace. With this gift that Jesus brought, the gift of peace. We often think about the word peace as meaning absence of conflict. We pray for peace in the Middle East. We pray for peace between Ukraine and Russia, and for Haiti and its citizens. And we pray for peace even in the United States, because we are a divided nation. And we pray for peace because we don't like conflict. At least most people don't. But Jesus came to bring peace, not necessarily absence of conflict, which one day that will be. Amen? Because when he puts everything else down and raises up everything else that is his, there's going to be no more wars, there's going to be no more fighting, no more tears, no more pain. But we also realize that one of the gifts that he came with and brought to us was the gift of joy. I know you know, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Happiness and joy are two opposites. Because you are only happy for how long? About this long. The new car makes you happy, right? Till the payment comes in and you have to get oil changed. You know, you're happy when you get something, but then it breaks. Or you get whatever it is, you're happy. Happiness is circumstantial. But the joy that Jesus brings to us, it is a joy, it is a peace, it is a contentness that no matter what is going on in my life, I can still find joy in my relationship with God. Because he is not just a baby. He's not just somebody who hung on the cross. He's not just somebody who rose from the dead. He is somebody who has changed my life. And he is somebody who wants to change your life and your neighbor's life and your cousins and your aunts and your uncles and everybody else's life. Because he tells us he came to save who? The world. We sing it, joy to the who?
World.
We sing it, but do we live it? You see, if you say you have joy, you know, remember all the song, you got the joy, joy, joy. Where? Why is it standing there? Aren't we supposed to be a fountain of living water? That what we receive from him, we pour out on others? Are we sharing the joy this Christmas season? I want to give us just a couple quick ways that you and I can have a Christmas blessing. Okay? It's going to come straight from Scripture. All right? And I'm going to base it all on one verse. Amen? I'm going to use a lot of other verses, but I'm going to base it on one verse. Matthew 6:33. If you want to have peace, if you want to have joy, if you want to have things go right in your life, if you want your life to reflect God, then these are Jesus' words. They're not Tim Duddy's words, okay? Because my words don't mean anything, I promise you. But God's word means everything, because one day everyone will stand before him and be judged by his word and what we have done with it. Jesus spoke these words and he said, but seek first, what? Not Tim's kingdom and not your kingdom, not Wigan Baptist Church's kingdom, not Wigan's kingdom, not George's kingdom. Seek God's kingdom first. You see, we are to make his kingdom the centerpiece of our lives. You know, the reality is a lot of us are good at some things. Amen. Now, I can't draw. I can't even draw a straight line with a ruler. I just can't do it. Because somewhere along the line, the pencil's going to mess up, the lead's going to break, or the ruler's going to move. Amen. Something's going to go wrong. So some of us are good at things, but some of them are good things, you know. You can play ball. You can like football. But when football and your hobbies take you from focusing on the kingdom of God, then you are now worshiping whatever it is instead of worshiping God and his kingdom. Something has invaded the space between you and God, and whatever that is an idol, has become an idol. And Jesus is saying, if you want things in your life to go right, then you've got to make a change. You've got to quit seeking your will and what you want done, and you've got to start doing what I want you to do. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, see, we get in trouble. We get in trouble because I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I want things my way, amen? Y'all know y'all don't have a problem with it. We like things to be done our way, our time, and we don't like to be interrupted. You know, we got plans, we don't like anything to happen. Sometimes we're clean, we're thinking clean, and we don't want to get dirty. We don't want to have to go out, we don't want to have to do all this stuff. Listen to me. Jesus is giving this as a command. It's a command. So what does it mean if I do not seek God's kingdom first? Come on, y'all help me out. Y'all know the answer. It means I'm sinning. Right? If I'm not obeying him, that means I'm disobeying. Right? So if I'm not seeking his will and I'm seeking my own, then I'm heading in the wrong direction. I need to turn around. I need to repent, right? Start doing his way. So, listen to what Psalm 66:18 says. Don't know why these verses do you? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will what? Ooh. So that means that if I'm knowingly not seeking God's kingdom and I'm knowingly seeking my own kingdom and what I want and when I want and doing what I want when I want, and I'm not doing what he wants when he wants, then that means what? That I'm regarding iniquity where? In my heart. So then there comes a time when I'm not seeking God first, and as we'll see in just a few moments, that, you know, when we get life figured out and we start doing his things his way, that means that life's going to go a whole lot better. Doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. I'm not preaching prosperity. I'm preaching facts. When I'm going God's way, he has said in these parts, in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to say, and all these things shall be added to me. So, if my life is focused on me and what I want when I want all that stuff, when it's focused on me and then I have a need, but I haven't dealt with iniquity in my heart first, what happens to my prayer? Ooh, and we want to, why isn't God listening to me? Why You already know the answer. You just don't want to turn around. Amen? We already know the answer. He's given us the answer. He told us to love the Lord your God with what? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. He's already told us to do that. So what Jesus is saying in Matthew 6:33 is basically the same thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Do his will, his way, when he says it. And things work better. I know this is Christmas. And I know people save and scrimp to buy presents for kids and for loved ones. But don't neglect to give God his gift. Okay? Don't neglect God, because when you leave God out, what are you doing? You're not seeking his kingdom first. You know, I know that's kind of blunt, but, you know, sometimes I can be that way. Scripture's that way, isn't it? Malachi 3. This is what it says. Will a man rob God? When you don't give back to God what he's told you to give, guess what? I'm not saying it, right? Y'all shut me out right now, aren't you? Will a man rob God? You say, I'll never take anything from anybody. Ooh, God's going to strike you. Amen? Then that's what we say. If you tell a lie, you're going to get struck down. Well, man, rob God. Yet you have robbed me, because you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and what?
Offerings.
Y'all listen up now. If you want to know what's going wrong in your life and your finances most of the time, it's because you're not giving to the Lord. You're not giving back to him. You are cursed. Does that mean God puts a voodoo on you? No. God doesn't. To curse means to take a blessing off of. How much has God blessed you this year? You got clothes, house, food, water, clean water, a way to go, shoes. We don't think about that stuff, but there's some countries in the world, North Carolina right now, people don't have. People are living in tents still, and it's freezing and snowing up there some days, you know. And we're down here, we're about to sweat to death, and we got good, and everything's fine. And God has blessed us so much. So all that God has to do to put a curse on you, so to speak, is to take his hand of protection off of you. Take that umbrella off of you. Let's read on in Malachi. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed who? You've robbed God, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourers for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Listen, and I know I've said this before, because I've preached on this passage before. So I can't afford a tithe, Brother Tim. I heard that. Can't afford not to. You can't afford not to. You can make all the excuses, but here's the thing. You're trusting in yourself and not in God. And my Bible says to trust the Lord in everything, right? In all your ways, acknowledge him. Hmm. Malachi 3 says, listen, you're robbing God if you're not giving back to him. If you're not giving back to him, then God says, listen, I'll bless you if you do what I'm telling you, but if you don't, then I'm going to take my blessings off of you, and then I'm going to allow the devourer to come in and eat up your money, eat up your life, eat up your savings, eat up everything in your life, because I want you to do what? God wants us to trust in him, not our bank accounts. Listen. If we don't trust God with our money, how can we trust him with our life? Which one's more valuable to you, your money or your life? Your money or your salvation? Mark 8:36 says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? You see, we can gain everything in the world, but if we lose out on Christ, then we've lost everything. What gain is it to have everything here in this lifetime and not have Jesus? In Matthew 6:33, Jesus is telling us, listen, if we get this one thing right, seek first the kingdom of God. If we get that one thing right, then all the pieces of the puzzle start doing what? They start falling into place. Why? Because we're honoring him. We're allowing him to be the Lord of our life. We're trusting in him. We're letting him lead us and guide us. And as a heavenly Father who loves us and wants what is best for us, he's going to say, listen, I'm going to pour out a blessing on you because you're obeying me. But as a disobedient child, then how can my Father bless me? Did yours bless you when you were disobedient? We get one thing right, other things start falling into place. But here's another thought. If you're not putting God first in your life, Satan has you right where he wants you. He has you right where he wants you. Because you're not focusing on Christ. You're not focusing on serving the Lord. You're not even focused on worshiping him. Because you're worshiping yourself. We think about Christmas as a time of the birth of our Savior. And we think about the angels coming in and singing and worshiping about the newborn king. We see the shepherds that come and they worship the newborn baby. And we see the magi or whatever you call them, can't think of it right now, but they come and they bow down and they worship the Lord. But when they came, they brought what?
Yes.
See, giving is an act of worship. It's an act of worship. When you love somebody, you don't just tell them, you what? Show them. Colossians 1:15-18 talks about Jesus here. He says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, powers, or principalities and powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have, what's the last word? What does that mean? First place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God See, the question comes back to, are we seeking him? Are we putting him in first place? Are we worshiping him as we should? And are we giving back to him? Are we doing the things that show we love him? We are to love the Lord, our God, with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. But I'm afraid in our society, and maybe even throughout the world, we've allowed the material things to become our God. And we worship those things instead of worshiping him and putting him first. We let the world creep in. You see, Jesus, first of all, deserves our worship. He deserves to be first. He commands for us to put him first, but he also demands it. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek me first is what Jesus is saying. If we want Christmas blessings, I'm not talking about presents under the tree. If we want true Christmas presents this year, we want Christmas blessings, then we need to start seeking him first in every area of our lives. There's another part of Matthew 6:33. It says, seek first the kingdom of God, and then it says, and what?
His
righteousness. See, it's a two-part deal. It's not and or. It's 1 + 2, so to speak. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. You say, well, what does that mean? How are you and I declared righteous? Can you earn it? Can you give enough to buy it? Can you look good enough and wait the right amount and get it? Have enough in the bank? We only have righteousness through Jesus Christ. From his life. Because when he came to be born, he came with a death sentence on him. And we'll look at that tonight. He came to die. He came to pay the price, that the just for the unjust. He paid that sacrificial penalty, like the Passover lamb this morning in our Sunday school. He paid that penalty. He paid the price with his blood. And in him and through him, he has declared those who believe and put their faith and trust in him, he has declared us righteous. It's not because of anything I did. And he did it 2,000 years ago before my grandma and grandpa and whoever else even knew that I was coming. Amen? He did it before I ever acted. Our righteousness is not our righteousness. Our righteousness only comes because of his righteousness. But because he is righteous, then we need to seek his righteousness. We need to look at him. How did he live? What did he do? What did he say? Where did he go? And then we need to do the same. We need to love others. We need to love him first and foremost. But here's the thing too. God doesn't want half a heart. Amen? When people get divorced, they often do what with the kids? Have joint custody, right? Do you know God doesn't want weekend visitations with you? Ooh, I know that just stepped on some of this time. He doesn't want this weekend visitation. He wants full custody, amen? He doesn't want your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength part of the time or just on Sundays. He wants it every day of the week. He wants it 24 hours a day, 365 days, or sometimes 66 days a year. And he wants it for the rest of your life. Now, are we going to fail? At times, yes. But our constant state of living should be that we are seeking His righteousness. We are seeking to do God's will in God's way. He doesn't want joint custody. He does want full custody of our lives. He wants us to live for Him. Seek first the kingdom of God and seek His righteousness. Because the problem is, all of us worry about things in the world. Most of the time it's things we can't change. Now, we can change our actions. We can do this and we can do that. And we can do all those things, but if we're not seeking Him first, then we're putting the cart before the horse, so to speak. Here's the reality. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Can I ask you this morning, where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? Is your treasure in you? Is it here again, your bank account? Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your status. Maybe it's in your self-worth or self-value or whatever it may be. Where is your treasure? Because Jesus said these words too, amen? He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." That means that whatever my heart is set on, that's what I am treasuring. I've shared this before, and I'll share it again. For a long time, I made hunting my God. If I wasn't hunting, I was playing on it. Amen. It didn't matter. Hunting season could have ended yesterday, and I'm still planning for next year. Amen. It was just a never-ending cycle, and it was over and over and over again, and you become so consumed with it that literally I was worshiping those things. I wasn't worshiping God. And so as you do that, you say, "Well, I'm not that way." Well, there's something in your life that gets your attention. It may not be hunting, but there's something that gets your attention. Where's your treasure? Matthew 13:44-45. This is what Jesus said. It says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Is Jesus that treasure that you found in your life, that's what you think of, that's what you want, that's what you desire, and you're willing to let everything else go to have it? In verse 45, he goes on to say again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls." And he finds one of great value, and he sells everything else, and he purchases it. Why did he do that? Because he found the treasure he was looking for. Have we found that in Christ? Have we been seeking Him? You know, y'all ever watch those treasure hunt people that go around searching with metal detectors trying to find it? You know, and they finally dig, and it's about a cat that was 50 years old, you know. Sometimes it's silver, sometimes it's gold. I wonder if we dig through the scriptures like that. I wonder if we'll get our reading glasses on, or whatever kind of glasses you got, a magnifying glass, and read the Word of God and try to find the treasure that's in here and apply it into our hearts and lives so that we can gain a better understanding of who Jesus is. Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Then he goes on to say, "And all these things shall be what? added unto you. If you want Christmas blessings, first of all, you have to seek Him. You have to trust Him. You have to put Him first in your life and give your heart and life to Him, because you can't receive a Christmas blessing until you have Christ in you. Amen? Because that's what Christmas is all about. You have to trust Him with your heart, mind, soul, and life. All your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You have to give Him everything. Seek first the kingdom of God. You see, reality says that we don't always treat God as if He is God. How many of you have a spare tire in the car? Do we treat God like the spare tire? Pull Him out when we need Him. Rest of the time He's rotting away underneath the car. Couldn't get Him out if we wanted Him. I've done that before with a spare tire. We come down, literally let the tire blow out on the interstate, and it's there, but it's no good because I can't get it out. Do we treat Him like that spare tire where, you know, we have a major event happen in our lives and we're crying out to Him and we say, "Where are you, God? Where are you, God?" And He's saying, "Listen, you got something to deal with first. You're regarding iniquity in your heart. You're putting everything else first before you put Me." Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Want a Christmas blessing? Put God first. Put Him first in your life, in your finances, in your marriage, in your home, in your personal life, in your business dealings. In every area of your life, put Him first. He doesn't want to be your co-pilot, amen? My mom even used to have one of them license plates, remember? God is my co-pilot. Man, that's from Satan, ain't it? God don't want to be your co-pilot. He wants to be the pilot. He is the pilot. You need to get out and get in the back seat and let Him drive. That's what He wants. That's why we need to put Him first. Are we putting Him first this Christmas? When we put Him first, everything falls into place. You got problems? Turn to Him. Got problems? Put Him first. Seek His righteousness. Jesus says, and all these things, all the things the Gentiles worry about, the heathens worry about, they'll be taken care of. All these things shall be added unto you. The food, the clothes, the things people worry about, all those things will come to pass. Put Him first. Please stand with me. Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, maybe there is one here today who has never trusted You as the Lord and Savior. But at the same time, I know, Lord, that this message today is really meant for us who have put our faith and trust in You. But maybe we've allowed the things of the world, life situations, finances, Lord, just all kind of things. Maybe we have allowed something else to come between us and You. So, Lord, today I pray that if that is true, Lord, that we would confess those sins, that we would confess those iniquities before You, so that, Lord, You would hear our prayer, that we would put You first and foremost in every aspect of our lives. Lord, forgive us of them. But, Lord, we realize that confessing is not enough. Lord, we need to repent. We need to turn around and start doing things Your way, seeking You first and putting You first and seeking Your righteousness. Lord, then we receive the Christmas blessing. Lord, I pray today that whatever we need to do, whether it's to come for salvation and trust you as our personal Lord and Savior, or if we just need to come and give our hearts and lives to you once again, Lord, just to say, Lord, I've been living my way. I've been doing my way, my things, and today I want to come clean. I want to confess those. Lord, the altar's open for whoever needs to come. Lord, just help us to be obedient to whatever the Holy Spirit is leading us to do today. Lord, have your will and your way. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.